Samuel chapter 20, 1 Samuel chapter 20, and I appreciate the good presence of the Lord, good songs, good testimonies. 1 Samuel chapter 20, you find that place, and you stand with us. We'll give reverence to reading of God's Word. You pray for us tonight. We want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray the Lord to help us to do that, and I pray that you'll pray that we'll do that. 1 Samuel chapter number 20. And we'll just read a few verses for the sake of time. We'll start there in verse number 24. This is right after a covenant had been made between David and Jonathan. And Jonathan knew that David was going to sit on the throne. And they made a covenant. And old Mephibosheth, he is going to be a beneficiary of that covenant, even though he didn't know anything about it. And thank God there was a covenant made one day that I didn't know a thing in the world about. But I'm sure glad I got in on it. Amen. It was made before me. It continues after me. And I just got cut in. And you ought to thank God you got cut in on that covenant. Amen. Bible says this. We'll start reading verse 24. David hid himself in the field. When the new moon was come, the king set him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat as at other times, even upon the seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side. And it said, David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought something hath befallen him. He is not clean, surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? And look with me, if you will, in verse 31. Saul's angered in verse 30. Verse 31 said, for as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send, fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight. And God, we sure thankful for the good presence of God. God, I'm glad tonight that, Lord, that you had condescended to men of lower estate. And that, God, that you'd come down. And the Lord, that you'd meet us right where we are. Father, I'd ask you, Lord, tonight that you'd help us as we stand and try to preach the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you give us good unction and the good anointing. Father, I pray that you'd bring out of us, God, what you put in us. And to God, I'd ask you that you'd help us to say it plainly and to God to say it powerfully. Father, I pray tonight that, Lord God in heaven, that the Word of God would speak to our hearts, God, right where we're at. I'd ask you, the Lord Jesus, that God, that we'd hold up tonight the mirror and to God that you'd show us what we are, show us what we need. And to God, I pray that our desire tonight, God, when we walk out of the house of God, is to be closer and to be nearer to you. Father, I pray, God, we surely need your help tonight. And Father, I ask you, Lord, now that you do it, God, not for our sake, God, that we'd go out and boast as though we're anything, but God, that you are everything. And God, we need you tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us one more time. In Christ's name we humbly beg and I ask for his sake I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I got thinking about this the other day, and God's been dealing my heart about this message for quite some time now. But they some things, when I get ready to leave out of here and I go meet the Lord, and surely that day's coming, and maybe sooner than what any of us realize. But I'd say this to you tonight, friend. Hey, some things whenever I meet the Lord, I'd like to be full of. Amen. I don't want to meet the Lord. I mean, when it comes time to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, it said this about Stephen. It said that he was a man full of faith and full of power. Amen. Wouldn't you like to meet the Lord full of faith? Amen. And now the reality is, friend, that's at where we live at today. It's that there's probably far too many times that I've had very little faith. But when the Lord comes, I'd like to find him, or for him to find me, rather, with great faith. I'd like to
find him to find me and to have great power. I'd like to find, the Bible says we ought to be full of wisdom. Amen. Don't you reckon that's right? I thought about what it said about Tabitha, who's also called Dorcas. And the Bible said she was full of good works. Amen. Hey, some things when it comes time that we ought to meet the Lord, that friend, we ought to want to be full of. Amen. But then the Lord got dealing my heart. And if he'll help me tonight, I'll preach just for a little while on this simple subject. There's some things that we need to be emptied out of too. Amen. And some things, thank God, when it comes time to meet the Lord, I don't want to find him full. I want him to find me emptied out. I want you to notice, first of all, we see here in this text, and I don't know how necessarily, I just want you to, I'm just preaching to me. And if it hits you, friend, then you're standing right where I'm standing. But I really do have, I'm not trying to be somebody as far as the world's concerned, but I would like to be everything that the Lord would have me to be. And so I find this in the scripture. First of all, you find David, and the Bible says this in verse 25, and it says it again in verse 27. It said David's place was empty. Amen. I'd like the Lord, when it comes time for either me to die, the Lord to come back and to catch us home, I'd sure enough like to make sure that the seat of the world that I used to sit in is an empty seat. Amen. I got thinking about David standing in this place, and my friend, there was a time, you understand, Katie testified, that he is a little shepherd boy just over there in the field, and God got to use it, and God got to promoting him, and God got to bringing him up. But my friend, listen, Saul didn't have no intention of him ever reaching that place. He wanted to keep him down. I want you to notice here, the Bible said that David understood what was going on. And he said, Lord, if you'll help me, he said, let's just have a little trick, if you will. Let's have a little plan. He said, here's the plan. Here's how this will work. He said, Saul's eyes are against me. And he said, we'll find out if I miss it. He said, how Saul feels about it. I want to say this to you, friend. And listen, make no mistake about it. There is a table of the devil. Amen. That's what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 21. And the Bible says you cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Amen. And you can't set it both. And you're going to have to make up your mind where you're going to say it. Amen. Thank God. I got thinking about this in our day. We've got entirely too many folks, and they're trying to keep a seat in both the church house and in the world. Amen. And you can't do that, friend. I'll tell you this, both of them will get uncomfortable to you. Amen. But we find here that David had a seat, and when it came time, he made sure it was empty. I thought about this. Listen to me. I want y'all to hear me very carefully. First of all, it is a reserved seat. And whenever it came time for Saul, Saul looked over where David should have been, and he said, David's place was empty. I mean, look here, friend. I really do want the devil to take note and say, there's a whole bunch of folks out of Amazing Grace, and you used to could tell where they're going to be at on Sundays and Wednesday nights, but now we know they're going to be over in the house of God. And there's a time in your life when things change, friend. If you're on the right road and doing what God have you to do, there's probably a time you used to have a seat somewhere else. But then it came time you said, I can't sit there no more. Amen. I got to go down to the house of God. I traded out seats. And it wasn't too long till somebody come up and somebody said, hey, he said, we've been noticing how you ain't down there at the club no more, and you ain't down at the bar no more, and you ain't down at the dance hall no more. I said, what happened? And you said, I emptied that seat out. Amen. And the world can have it, and the devil can have it. I'm not interested in that seat. Amen. And thank God. Listen to me, friend. As far as I'm concerned, thank God, I know we ain't got assigned seats in here. And Brother Tanner, I'll give my seat up. But if there ain't nobody sits right there, now let me just say this. I've also noticed that we've got to lay a lot of seats out, but I usually have seats that are open right next to me on the front row. Amen. I don't know who wants to fill those up, but you're welcome to do so. I'd say this to you, friend. If I don't have a seat nowhere else, I want to have a seat right here in the house of God. Amen. And thank God, listen, I don't want there to ever have to be a day. And Brother Savage, when you look over at that seat and you say, I wonder where Kevin's at. Amen. I wonder where Dustin's at. I wonder where Brother Mike's at. And no, I emptied that seat up. I sold my season passes and they can have the tickets to it and they can have the best seats in the house and they have the whole thing. And thank God, listen, I was talking to the fellow the other day, had to listen to him talk rather, and that's what he said. He said, you know what's wrong with the house of God? I said, what's that? He said, it's like a soap opera. He said, you can stop watching it, 6 months later come back and ain't nothing much changed. I said, thank God that's not so. Amen. I don't know what they're looking at. I don't know where they've been going. That's not the same, thank God. I'm looking for God to do something big every time I walk in the house of God. Amen. Oh, listen to me, friend. I'm saying he's a reserved seat. And I don't want to be sitting out there where Saul's table's at. And number two, I'd say this to you. Not only is it reserved, it's restricted, friend. And I want y'all to listen to me very carefully. And this is the meat of the message until I get to the other parts that are a little meaty, all right? How about here? I want you to put this in your hat. Sit on and think on it for a while. You understand, David could have got satisfied at sitting at the table he was at. He said, man, this is pretty good. Y'all know I was a shepherd boy. I was sitting back there. I didn't have nothing. I wasn't nothing. And now I get to sit at this king's table. If that had been me or you, we'd have shouted out. I said, thank God I get to sit at the king's table. But God did not make David have to sit at the king's table. He made David to be a king. Amen. And as long as he sat at the king's table, he was never going to be what God wanted him to be. Amen. I want you to hear me, friend. Hey, you come in the house of God. If we're ever going to be what we're going to be, for God, Miss Irene, are we going to have to quit sitting in the tables of the world and say, God, I don't want to restrict what you want me to be. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. I'll say this, thank God. Hey, you can shout her out all day long. But old David knew that there was a place, and if he's going to be something for God, he's going to have to give up that seat. And God had a better seat. And now listen to me. Don't nobody get nervous about this. But for a while, it looked like he made a mistake. Amen. When he was sitting down there in the caves, and he didn't have nobody, no friends. He didn't have nobody care much about it. And when he was running for his life, and when he was going on one side of the mountain, and he didn't have a seat nowhere else, it sure looked like God had forgot about it. But thank God, God never did forget about him. Amen. And God was a preparing help to understand how to lead his sheep. I'll say this, friend. If you sit in that seat too long, you'll find out it's a seat of ruin. Amen. I want y'all to listen to me. Hey, you know what would have happened to David if David would have kept sitting in that seat? It's just a matter of time before Saul's going to kill him. Amen. Hey, you say, Brother Kevin, this seat seems right. This seat sits right. This seat feels right. This seat fits right. I'd say this to you. On two different occasions, God said in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Be careful where you sit. Amen. I'm saying this, friend. And the child of God ought not have a bar stool to sit on. Y'all think that's right? I'd not have a bar stool to sit on. And we ought not be like Norm down at the Cheers. Amen. I mean, if you're going to be a child of God, and thank God I'm going to say this. And I know, listen, I know how folks feel. And thank God I enjoy everything. But I'm telling you for an absolute fact, you ought not be known more for where you sit at the ball field than where you do in the church house. Amen. Hey, say, well, now that fella over there, boy, he always sits right here. Hey, say, I wonder where he's at. Said, we can't hear him say nothing. Hey, said, you know, oh, so-and-so, when they get down here, I've been told this. Hey, say, oh, so-and-so, they get down here. Hey, y'all listen to them shout. Oh, whenever they're playing football, I said, they ain't no way. I'll never believe it. Hey, say, oh, yes, they shouted out. I say, there's no way. Hey, say, what do you mean there's no way? I say, I've been knowing them for 10 years. Ain't never heard a peep out of them in the house of God. Ain't no way they're shouting her down on a ball field. And they're too quiet, amen. of their reserve, thank God. I know the problem is they need to give up that seat and find a seat right here, amen. Oh, yes, friend, listen. I'm saying this to you, thank God. And when the Lord comes, you don't want to be sitting in the seat of the world, amen. And when the Lord comes, if you've named the name of Christ, you do not want God to find you sitting at Saul's table, amen. Oh, yes, I want that to be empty. But then I thought about this. And not only do I want my seat to be empty, I want my shelves to be empty too, amen. And now this way I understand it, and I think I can prove it to you in just a second. But my friend, I believe that there's a will of God for our lives that is so unbelievable that if somebody gave you a pen, piece of paper, and said right out the best thing you think God could do, it would so far more exceed anything you could ever write down. It wouldn't even be funny. But I'm going to say this. It is contingent on what you do. Amen. I want you to watch your Bibles. Let me show you what it is I'm talking about. Just flip on over there with me, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. I'm not going to be very long, but I'm going to be very pointed tonight. And I hope God will help us. All right. I'm talking about some things I want to find emptied. I want my seat to be emptied when it comes time for the Lord to come back and for him to find me. But watch what the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse number 7. This is after David sinned. He said, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. He said, I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wife into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. He said, if that had been too little, he said, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. In other words, God had more for David. But listen to me. Because David messed up. Because David sinned against God. He said, I was going to give you a bunch. He said, but now you're walking out here with a little, amen. And now hear me today, dear friend. If you're a child of God, I sure don't want to get to heaven one day and God show me the shelves in heaven and say, this is what I was going to give you. This is how much I was going to pour out on you. But instead of you getting that, you walked out of here with a little handful and you've been shouting out the whole way. Hey, listen to me, friend. I don't want to settle for a little if God wants us to have a lot. Yep, don't die on me right there. Pay attention. Amen. I'm saying this to you, friend. I don't want to settle for a little if God wants us to have a lot. I don't want to settle for something good if God wants us to have something great. Amen. I'm saying in our house of God today, we've got so many folks, friend, and they get just a little dose, a little dab will do you. And then thank God they run right back out. And they come out and they say, man, I don't know why God's not helping me any more than what he is. I'll tell you why, friend. At some point in time, if you want the shelves to be emptied, you're going to have to leave the seat. How you empty the seat, God will empty his shelves, amen. How you walk out of that world, and thank God, get all in with Christ, and bless God, God will help you, amen. But there's so many folks come in the house of God, and they ain't much interested in it. I thought, I wonder how much glory, and now listen to me, friend, I wonder how much glory that David could have saw if he hadn't messed up with Bathsheba, amen. I mean, listen, I wonder how many more Psalms would have been written. I wonder how much glory would have fallen down if he had just stayed true unto the Lord God of heaven. I thought about this. How many gains could have happened in Israel if they hadn't sold God out? Listen, you know God made them a promise in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15. He said, I'm going to give you the land. And this is the dimensions of the land. He said, all the way from that great river to the river Euphrates. He made them a promise. I know he gave them that land. And the best I can tell, at the height of the kingdom of Solomon, and the best they ever done was they got 10% of what God wanted them to have. And now Joshua 21, it says they possessed all the land. And that's true. They possessed all the land in part, but they never have had the full possession. But God wanted them to have it, amen. And God gave it to them. But because they didn't believe God, how they kept going back murmuring against God, how they left out with 10% instead of the whole, amen. Reckon how many of us in the house of God, if we'd be honest.
Right, brother. God help me.
If we'd be honest.
Yeah.
We shout her out.
Yeah.
I think probably the best among us is probably living off less than 10% of what God wants them to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm talking about not folks, I mean, I'm talking about George Mueller and the rest of that crowd.
Yeah. Oh.
They run around, run off probably about 10%. And God's like, listen, y'all think that's something? I'm just talking about, we're going to be, look here, friend. Going to be a bad day when we think We're going to walk into heaven, and there's going to be a store bigger than Costco with all the things God wanted us to have. And instead, we're just sitting around here kicking in the dust, acting like God ain't never done nothing for us. Amen. I'm saying this. I want my shelves to be empty. I understand how this comes across. I'm saying this. I don't want to be standing on the land if God wants me in a boat. Y'all right with that? I don't want to be in a boat if God wants me to be in the water. I don't know why I lost so many on that one, but that's still right. Right? We stand on the land talking about seeing great things and deep things. You ain't going to see great things and deep things standing on the land. You're going to have to get in a boat. And if you're going to want to see what it feels like to walk on water, you're going to have to get out. Amen. Peter got to take a few steps. I wonder how many more he could have took if he had just believed God. Amen. Hey, thank God. Listen, friend. That's untelling what God would do for us. I'm saying this. Don't check out with an empty seat and don't check out with empty shelves. Amen. You don't want to get to heaven one day and find out how good God wanted to be to you, but you limited the Holy One of Israel and prevented him from being as good to you as he wanted to be. Amen. Do you guess that's right? Well, praise God anyhow. Amen. I'm going to say this. I don't want my service to be emptied. I mean, I want it. Let me rephrase that. I want my service to be emptied. I want to be poured out. You don't want to get to heaven and say, man, I got a lot left in the tank. Somebody help me right there. I've been around Baptists so long. Some of them, they're sitting on their reserve tank, and they've been sitting on it for 45 years. I say, preacher, I'm going to burn it one day. Listen, look at me. Go ahead and burn it. God will refuel you. Amen. Go ahead and burn that thing out, thank God. God's got plenty. There's no shortage of the Spirit of God. He's never ran out of it, friend. Just go ahead and burn everything you can burn for the glory of God. Amen. Do you think that'd be good? Listen, I got thinking about a few things. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said, I'm not going to hold back when it comes to the Word of God. He said, I kept in, I think it's Acts chapter 20, verse 20. He said, I kept back nothing from you that's profitable. In other words, he emptied the whole thing out. Amen. Hey, listen, that's the good and the bad. Amen. Ain't that right? Thank God. He gave them everything, both barrels. As a fellow I was talking to just the other day, and this one he said, brother, he said, every time you preach, he said, you're aiming that thing at me. I said, listen, that's not how preaching works. How preaching works is I load up the gun and I point it. Now, if you jump in front of the gun, that's not my fault. Amen. If you're the person that just happens to walk by when the trigger's Paul, that's not on me, friend. I can't help that. I'm just saying this. The Apostle Paul didn't hold nothing back. Amen. We've got a whole bunch of folks today, and they're saying everything but saying something. Amen. And they're just holding back, and they're holding back, and they're holding back because they don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, and they're holding back because they don't want to lose their position. That's not how Paul preached. Amen. He just reared back, and he let her fly. Amen. That's how preaching is supposed to be. Don't hold back the word. Don't hold it back. Don't hold back the work of God. Hey, there's a lot of folks listening to me, friend. I'm saying this to you tonight. Don't nobody get real nervous. You remember that over there? I think it's, what is that? 2 Timothy 4:1. When he starts off, he says, and I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing at his kingdom. He said, preach the word. Amen. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, all long-suffering doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. He said, they shall turn their ears away from truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. That's what he said, wasn't it? And then he told him, he said, but watch in all things. He said, do affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. In other words, Paul said, I'm about to be poured out, and I want you to be poured out too. We walk out of this, look here. I think we ought to give this thing everything we got. I don't know why everybody's getting so quiet on me tonight. We ought to give it everything we got. If you're going to preach, I think you ought to be emptied out every time you preach. I think if you get up and sing, I think you ought to just not get up there and quit about halfway because it ain't going the way you think it ought to go. It ain't up to you. You're not the measuring stick, no how. That'll help a lot of us right there. You say, brother, it didn't go good. Who said?
Who said so? You said so? You're the same person. Thank God you run on your feelings about three quarters of the time. I'm talking about me. Run on your feelings three quarters of the time. They ain't never right no how. Why in the world would I ever think that I know anything about anything? Why would you think you ever know anything about anything? Amen. How many folks you know that you said, man, that fellow there is a good fellow, then you found out he's a crook? What about him? You knew about him? What about her? You said she was pretty good, then you found out she wasn't no good. See, you don't know, thank God. I don't know either. So what we do is we serve God to the best of our ability, according to this Bible, according to the Spirit of God. We give it everything we got. We do it as unto the Lord and listen as long as God's pleased. Don't matter if everybody else is mad. Get emptied out. Let me ask you this. Let's be honest. How many folks you reckon came to church tonight? Not just in this church, but all across. Said, Lord, I'll tell you what I'd like for you to do for me tonight. When I get there, I want you to wring me out real good and empty me out. Make sure when I get in the house of God that whatever I got for you is emptied out for you tonight. You reckon we pray like that? What about Luke chapter, let me back up, Mark chapter 14? And that lady, I love that, one of my favorites. She breaks that alabaster box and she doesn't put a little bit in her pocket. She's not worshiping like Ananias and Sapphira who keep a portion back. When she breaks that thing, she breaks all of it. You say, preacher, that's a little high expectation to think we ought to break it all every single time. Listen, again, I'll promise you this. If you'll break it for him tonight, God will make sure you got another alabaster box next time. You break that one, God will give you another one. I'll guarantee you, if you'll purpose in your heart to be emptied out in the service of the Lord. Right. Thank God, friend, God will empty you out, and before you can even know anything about it, he'll fill you right back up again. Right. Amen. 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 Listen, let me end right here. I can tell that we're going downhill quick. Listen, when the Lord comes, you don't want him to find you sitting in the seat of the world. Right. And you don't want him to find you holding back in your service. Listen to me, friend. I mean, you don't want to have full shelves. You want them to be emptied. But I got thinking about this, and I'm being honest. I'm coming to a close. I'm right here. But you know really what? When the Lord comes back, you know really what I want the Lord to find me emptied of? Self.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who I've got the biggest problem with today?
Yes, sir, brother.
It's about Kevin's preferences.
Right.
It's about Kevin's desires.
Right. Yeah.
It's about Kevin's will. And again, we walk out of this house sometimes, and I'll say, man, I don't know how good that was. And you know what I'm basing that on, Dustin? How Kevin feels about it. And you know what will help us all worship the Lord? It's just to get emptied of ourselves when we come fighting before him. You say, preacher, what's that look like? I think we know. I mean, we find that John the Baptist said he must increase. He said, I must decrease. It's when we come in the house of God and we start preferring one another. And then we start esteeming one another.
Mm-hmm.
When we come in the house of God, it's not about who does get to sing and who don't get to sing.
Right.
And it's not about who does get to preach and who don't get to preach. You know what the Bible says? Listen, you know what the Bible says about preaching? It says, neither is he that planteth.
Right.
Y'all know what that next word is? Neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. He said, but God. He said, that preacher's nothing, and that preacher's nothing, and that servant's nothing, and that servant's nothing. He said, but he's everything. And the reason we don't have more power than what we got is we're so full of ourselves that we don't have much room for God. I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about you. You might be as full of God as you've ever been your whole life. But I'm talking about whenever I was studying. Listen, I was having a good time studying this for 3 points. I ain't no different than y'all. Y'all understand what I'm preaching to you has done been preached by me. I mean, done been preached to me. And for 3 points, I was having a good time. I said, yeah, Lord, empty them shelves out on me. Man, I got to thinking about buying in bulk, Josh, the first time I ever went to Costco.
I said, Lord, hand me one of them, you know, them big towels. You know, you don't get an individual, you have to buy in bulk. And I thought, Lord, pour it out on our church. I was having a good time. I said, Lord, I don't want you to find me in that seat. I said, you can have all them seats, God. I said, hey, Lord, empty me when it comes to service. Brother Jordan, I can tell you in an honest heart, there ain't never been one time, to my knowledge, that I've ever mailed it in when it come time to preach. My wife would attest to it. I try to give it everything I got every time. Sometimes it's better than others. I don't control anointing. Y'all understand that? I was having a good time. I shut my Bible. I said, I'm ready to preach. And the Holy Ghost said, oh, no. So there's one more we need to talk about. He said, your problem is not those being emptied, Kevin. He said, your problem is you need to be emptied. Right, yeah. Boy, God pierced my heart. Because there's one thing I don't want. I don't want to stand up here and be full of Kevin. I don't want our church to be full of people's names. I want this place to be full of God.
Amen.
And I'm afraid I don't want to sit in the seat of judgment. But if God's going to help us, I want us to be emptied out of ourselves. God to be filled up in this place. I've cleared my heart. Stand to your feet. I'll give you what I feel like the Lord had for us.